Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
And this is Rick Swan.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
I'm Rocco Cinco Romero.
David Starr.
Support WrestleTalk.
You are watching WrestleTalk.
Congratulations, you got here. Now, subscribe
and support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk and please subscribe now.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Because we talk about wrestling, and I like it.
Support WrestleTalk.
Go subscribe.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is, and whoever Luke Owen is, both the Ravens. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk. Rumble. Now and live.
Hello, and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I'm Ollie Davis, here on a sweet, sweet Saturday. All the times we've had on this Saturday in the office, Pete.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've said a word to you. And I'm joined by Chopper Pete Quinnell.
Hello. Hi. It's weird. I should be doing the intro. It's a Saturday show. It's my thing, man.
Yeah, just big leader.
Yeah, I know. You really did.
Walk in with my massive testicles. I've got them in front of Pete on the desk, resting there.
It's true.
What do you think that bump is? Because that one's a testicle.
Yeah.
That one, I'm pretty sure, is a testicle.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's this other lump,
mm-hmm.
which is the size and shape of a chicken tower fillet meal from KFC.
Is that the first thing that came to your head?
We just ordered one. So. We had treats.
We did, yeah. Well, I mean, you've muscled your way in on a Saturday and just been like, I'm going to make all the videos in the world today. And as a reward to yourself and also me, you made me go and get you a coffee and you bought us a KFC. So
a coffee that I paid for, Pete.
You did.
I made you get a coffee that I paid for. Don't make it sound like... You also got a coffee.
I did, which was much more coffee-y than I wanted it to be because I don't really like coffee. So I wanted to get a mocha because then at least it doesn't taste entirely like coffee, but it just tastes like coffee. I can't taste any chocolate in it whatsoever. I was very disappointed.
You do have a sweet tooth. You're the only person in the office who drinks tea with sugar in.
Yeah.
And it's not just one sugar.
It's two.
It's two sugars.
It's the correct way to have tea.
When you drink your tea, do you notice differences from the people who make it for you?
Yes.
So please do elaborate. What's my tea like?
Your one's pretty good, I think.
You don't have to say that, man.
Honestly, it depends not just on the person, but how many they're making.
Because yeah, I think that's a good point.
Sometimes people will forget to either put the sugar in or they'll do different milk amounts if they're doing lots of teas and things like that. So it can vary.
As people will see on the WrestleTalk YouTube channel today alone, quantity has a direct effect on quality.
Autumn multi.
I've been putting up a lot of videos and just a fit of panic. But the so what about Laurie's tea?
Laurie quite often forgets to put the sugar in. I will say that.
He doesn't forget so, that. He told me.
Maybe he just does and he doesn't do enough. I don't know.
He puts one sugar in for you. He told me the other day. I said, Pete wants two sugars because we both went up to make tea.
Yeah.
And he went... Yeah, I'm trying to wean him off.
Laurie's trying to control my drinking habits. How dare he? But anyway, we've had, one, a productive day in the office today. But also, we had a fun night last night going to the Ring of Honor show.
It was just a bit of a whirlwind day.
Because it was, wasn't it?
Dalton Castle and Matt Taven came into the office.
Hijacked the show.
Hijacked the show and pretty much the whole afternoon for us. There were a few scheduling issues, which is a nice way of saying they were really late.
Quite late, yes.
But they were lovely, and it was really cool to see them.
It was.
So that's... Should we, like, schedule that episode to go up later? Because we didn't do the podcast for then. I mean, it's going to be an awkward listen.
Oh, yeah. It's very visual, which isn't great audio content. But there is a lot of it that's very funny that's just audio. So I feel like it's still worth it to do as a podcast form.
I feel like a lot of the humor comes from Matt Taven just sitting there with his top off.
Yes.
From halfway through the video.
Yes.
And me just flipping between, oh my God, what's happening? And then going, you know what? I'm going to go with it.
Yeah.
But then the dread pulls me back. Just, oh my God.
Structure, crap gimmicks.
I had so much research. But, like, I get really nervous meeting anyone with any kind of name value.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you just sort of trip. I trip myself up. I get obsessed with it. So I've been thinking about this since Tuesday, writing down notes. I had a whole thing about Roosh and how it was the Roosh match with Castle, where Castle turned heel, and then Roosh 6 months later beat Taven, which is sort of what prompted Taven's babyface turn. Mm-hmm. What an interesting parallel. Never got to speak to them about it.
Doesn't matter.
The whole morning we were talking about people, wrestlers getting really in shape after injuries.
Yeah.
They both had really serious injuries. And what an interesting discussion point to have with actual wrestlers.
Yeah.
No.
Don't get to talk about any of that. No, it doesn't matter.
I tried.
You did try.
It was really fun, though.
I
wouldn't have changed it for anything.
Hilarious. You probably, even in audio format, you can probably hear me laughing off camera.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't help myself sometimes. It was very funny. But yeah, and then we had the Ring of Honor show, and at that night, we went to go see them perform. I thought it was a cracking show. I thought it was really, really fun.
I didn't realize how much I love Ring of Honor.
Mm.
And that's going to sound like, oh, yeah, you had the wrestlers in the office yesterday and then you went to the crowd. Yeah, sure. After the last 6 months of making fun of Mega Ran, you certainly love Ring of Honor, Ollie. But it's honestly true. They were my American indie, my first.
Yeah.
Because I was telling Pete yesterday, that 2010 period of WWE, I was WWE and TNA. TNA weren't an indie, I would class them as. And I fell out of both of them because they were awful in 2010. And that's when I got into Ring of Honor. And Progress launched, I think, the year after. So those were the two threads that really introduced me to, I would argue, modern wrestling. And I was obsessed with Ring of Honor for years. And it wasn't until the second match where it was Jay Briscoe came out. He was the first guy from that era on the show. And people started slamming on the metal barricades. And I was like, holy moly, I love Ring of Honor. I forgot about this promotion, really. I've kind of written it off. So, yeah, it was really, really cool.
It was.
And just from, I mean, not to throw shade at any of the other UK promotions or things that we see, but Ring of Honor, I thought there was quite a clear level of not just production value, because they've got all the TV stuff, but also just the structure of the show.
Mm-hmm.
The wrestling was so crisp.
Yeah.
It was, and I love British independent wrestling, but, you know, these are the Yanks with big time money from Sinclair.
Mm-hmm.
They do this at a much higher level from just a production perspective.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was really, really great. What was your favorite match?
Oh, I think it was probably Hendry versus Taylor for the TV title. I thought that was an awesome match. That was so, so fun. Because I had actually never seen Shane Taylor wrestle before. So that was an interesting experience in and of itself, mainly because he's a fantastic heel. Good God, he's awesome. And seeing, obviously, our boy Joe Hendry have a match is always great.
They're both our boys.
Yeah, I know. They're both our boys. One's really good at beer pong. So then, yeah, seeing them both wrestle was great, and having all the interactions that they had with the fans. There was one particularly vocal group of fans that were mouthing off to Shane Taylor. So as recompense for that, pretty sure Shane Taylor told Hendry, yeah, just whip me really hard into this barricade exactly where they're sitting. And he just went full speed into the thing, collapsed the barrier onto these fans that were just bad-mouthing him. It was so funny. And then Hendry got the pop because he's the one that did it. It was so fun.
It was genius. He managed to sort of ruin those people's experience. They actually loved it. But, yes. You know, like, he got to get rough with them, I suppose.
Inconvenience them, yeah.
Which is fun.
Yep.
While making the other guy look at it. It ticked all the boxes. Mm-hmm. There was a brilliant moment when Shane Taylor just walked past them at one point and they started yelling something at him. And he just turned around and went, "Your mum."
It's like, it's the lamest insult, but when it's coming from Shane Taylor, it just sounds so cool.
So I saw him, I don't know if it was earlier this year or last year, at Rev Pro. You know, I've been watching him in Ring of Honor on and off for a couple of years. Mm. And he's always been good. You know, he's Shane Taylor. He's just a really unique heavyweight in sort of that mid-card picture. And now he's a TV champion for Ring of Honor. The world TV champion,
yeah.
But this time, it's like he's transformed. It feels like he'd been on tour, you know, with like how the Young Lions get sent on tour and they come back with this amazing character. Mm-hmm. Shane Taylor Promotions.
Yep.
The mouthing off to the crowd. Yeah, he's fantastic.
He was amazing, yeah. Someone at the start did a chant, which I think is mildly racist. Someone started chanting sexual chocolate at him. So then he turned around and goes, "Yeah, that's what your girl called me last night." I'm like,
Oh,
you're so good, Shane. I love you. It was great. He's awesome. Hendry was awesome. They had a really good match on top of that as well. So, yeah, I thought that was great. Also, we got to see PCO do a moonsault.
Oh, what? My God. Look, Laurie described it as a moonsault where you went, "I'm going to hit this." I am going to hit it.
Yep. And boy, did he.
My neck might not survive. Because he went down and, oh, my God, his skull was centimeters away from the mat. Like he barely got all the way around.
I know.
But he's the most over person in the company, I would say.
God, everyone was so into him.
How old is PCO? It's just a remarkable career.
Datsun looked that up yesterday. I won't say it because I know the answer, but
yeah.
He's old.
Well, I knew he was 50. He's 51.
Yeah.
So he'll turn 52 on the 30th of December.
Wow.
So it's just a remarkable career resurgence. Of course, he used to wrestle in the Quebecers for WWF. And now he's, credit to Ring of Honor, he's not got long left in him, especially if he wrestles like this.
Yeah.
But he is the hottest person in the company. So at the biggest show of the year, Final Battle, he's fighting for the title.
Yeah. It's a great champ. I love it. Anyway, we should get on to the main portion of this show. We actually talk about SmackDown and all that.
Don't we talk about Ring of Honor?
So let's get on to the main show where we're going to be talking about how WWE are botching Crown Jewel. Here's the show.
I watch SmackDown on Mondays now, and usually I only watch the YouTube clips. So, what joy it was to tune into a full episode of SmackDown with all the stuff that they deem not worthy to put up as clips. Mm-hmm. And I must say, this was the go-home show to Crown Jewel. I cannot wait for that Brock Lesnar-Rey Mysterio match. They are building that Lesnar-Mysterio match so well. Mm-hmm. How he attacked Dominic, of course, Rey's son. Mm-hmm. How Rey's been walking around cutting promo after promo after promo with a sling on. And yeah, Brock Lesnar F5'd Dominic's godfather. I don't know who that guy is. Onto Dominic. I'm just like, oh, I cannot wait for Rey to get his revenge here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't know if I'm missing anything on SmackDown just because I haven't been watching it in full.
Don't think so. I think there's only, the only minor, tiny little thing you're missing there is that it's actually Brock versus Cain Velasquez. He's not actually facing Rey Mysterio.
Who's Cain Velasquez?
Exactly.
Is he the godfather guy?
Yeah. He's that dude who just hangs about.
So, they had a
that Rey Mysterio and Cain Velasquez, Wildcard, came out for a promo segment on this show. Before that, they did a really good video package for them. They had those shots of from their UFC fight, how Brock was legitimately scarred, that busted open cheek. It's really, really brutal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, well, that makes me excited to see a rematch. And then it cuts to the ring and it's Rey talking about what Brock Lesnar did to Rey and Dominic. And even if Kane is Dominic's real-life godfather, which do you think he is?
I don't know.
It could be a shoot. I don't know.
I don't know.
It seems very convenient.
Yes,
that's
it
all
does,
I'd
yeah.
say.
Yeah, yeah.
It might totally be true. But even if it is true, it's coming off to me as a little bit phony.
Yeah.
And the Kane-Brock match could have just been them staring off with a bit of UFC context. The whole Rey soap opera storyline isn't needed for that. And it's much better at building Mysterio Lesnar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, legit. Like, after this, I loved this Lesnar beatdown angle that he did with Dominic. I thought it was awesome. But the problem still remains that I want to see Mysterio get the revenge, not Mysterio get his revenge via Cain Velasquez. It's too convoluted a story. If you have a father and son, that's a direct link. Even if it's son and godfather, that's a link. But when you have the actual father right there, it's not quite the same. So I don't know why they're opting to go the route of he did a bad thing to Dominic when you've got the entire UFC history right there to use. And they're partially using it in video packages and they're not talking about it any other time.
Yeah.
It's a very strange mix.
And Rey is such a good promo these days.
He's great, isn't he?
He's knocking it out the park. That I'm so empathetic for him. He's probably one of WWE's best baby faces right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I agree with that.
I can't even think of someone who could touch him, actually. You know, because Chad Gable, I will not use his other name.
Yeah, I was about to say Gable.
Is really good when he's in the ring, but he's so weighed down with other gimmicks at the moment.
Yeah.
I think Rey Mysterio might be WWE's best babyface, and we're not getting to live through his revenge story, which I think is a really big misstep.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like I want to see... I feel like Kane is a stepping stone.
Yeah.
To Lesnar Mysterio.
To the big match of Lesnar Mysterio. Yeah, I don't know where they're going with this, and I don't know why they've chosen to do this. If they are building to like a Mysterio-Lesnar match at Survivor Series or something, that's cool. Why is Cain Velasquez there? It seems like an unnecessary extra step to take, because Cain Velasquez should be the bigger match, but now you've built this bigger match of Mysterio-Lesnar. I don't know why you'd then take the extra step to have... it's just really convoluted.
Yeah, like, obviously Velasquez and Lesnar is the box office match.
Yeah.
But Rey and Brock, that's the actual story. That's the emotional story. And I tend to get more invested in that stuff.
Yeah.
It's not that effective. But what happened here was Rey Mysterio came down. He started to cut a really good promo, as he has been doing. And Heyman and Brock appear on the Titantron. And Heyman says how Brock's been busy. Show him what he's been busy with, Brock. And Brock holds up Dominic's lifeless
body. I wish it was that quick. Jeez.
Oh, I didn't mind how they drew this out.
I thought it went too long. Because as soon as he was like, he's got other things to do. And I was like, oh, sure, yeah, business. They're just trying to make an excuse as to why Lesnar can't go to the ring. Sure, whatever.
Yeah,
and
he was totally there.
Yeah. And then I was just like, oh, they're trying to make an excuse for it. And then he said, I wonder where he is doing his stuff. And I was like, oh, he's beating up Dominic because he was backstage. Okay. And then he said, oh, you're not going to guess that? Well, maybe whom he's been doing his business to or why he's been doing it. I was like, just show us the thing. I get it. But eventually it was a cool reveal and he just pulls up Dominic and he's like, look, I've beaten up your son. Lol.
And then Rey and Kane immediately run backstage. Ad break comes back. They're checking on him in a trainer's room and Brock just walks in.
With a trash can, which was great. Annihilated both of them. Bonk, bonk. It was great. And then he kicks Cain Velasquez while he's down. Mysterio dives in from out of nowhere. Lesnar just catches him and F5s him into a wall. I was like, Oh, that looks awesome.
That was amazing. It was that great. Was really, really. I almost preferred that F5 into a wall than the other one that happened,
which was then he picked up Cain Velasquez and delivered an F5 from Velasquez onto Dominic, who was still lying on the training room table. It was great. That was great stuff.
Yeah, brilliant. It was a really good beatdown that made me want to see Ray versus.
Exactly. That's the problem. It was so good for something that they're not doing.
Like, if you just showed someone that clip, Kane does just look like a stand-in. He's just someone who's there to fill in the scene.
Yeah. Yeah. He looked like, at best, Rey Mysterio's bodyguard.
Mm.
And that's it.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like it's the big match that they're building to at Crown Jewel.
Concerned family member number three. Just there, looking. We did get a bit later on, though. Yeah, but thoughts and prayers.
thoughts and prayers.
the bit later on was sort of, it was after the entrances for the main event.
Yeah.
It was cuts backstage. Kane is there. Velasquez, not Big Red Machine.
Not Big Red Machine,
looking
Kane.
Very angry. Mm. And he yelled in Spanish, which I think is a wise move. Even when he was yelling in Spanish, I don't think it was that believable an emotion.
Yes.
But it was translated as, I'm going to kill you. And he just said that over and over again.
Cool. Yeah, it was fine. I still don't buy it, honestly. And like, you don't need to have an emotional storyline for Cain Velasquez versus Brock Lesnar.
Totally.
You just don't. And they've told us already what the UFC story is. So why do you need to throw in the wrench that is Rey Mysterio and Dominic?
They've overthought it, which is classic WWE, and now that undermines the Velasquez-Lesnar match because it's muddied what the story is here and who is the true affronted.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the only thing that they sort of failed to build to
because
we also had Firefly Funhouse. So this is, I guess it's kind of the go-home angle, but you could also have one on Raw because Seth is on Raw. Lesnar Velasquez, this presumably is the go-home angle because it's on SmackDown. But it was the return of the Firefly Funhouse. Corey Graves set this up, that Bray's been rebuilding the Funhouse for the last 2 weeks since it was burnt down by Rollins.
I hate that.
Do you think this was always the plan, or do you think they course-corrected on seeing the backlash?
That one.
To the Funhouse being removed?
The latter, yeah. Mm. I think they burnt it down and they were like, oh, no, we should probably bring that back. But then they just brought it back in a really lazy way. They were like, oh, well, it's back. Yay! It was never gone, really.
Yeah.
They did a quick recap saying, oh, look, it was burnt down 2 weeks ago. But he's rebuilt it, and it's here. But there was no sign of, like, oh, it's been burnt down previously. There wasn't really any changes.
The pictures were slightly askew. I think that was the only thing I could see. Yeah.
I mean, then they had, like, the consequences of the burning it down was that Ramblin' Rabbit had died. And they were holding a little funeral for Ramblin' Rabbit, and Huskus was saying that he introduced him to carrot cake and stuff like that. And then Bray Wyatt says, oh, it's going to be an open casket. Opens up this little box, which has like a disfigured little Ramblin' Rabbit in it, which looked pretty gross.
Yeah, it looked like just a horrible bit of meat.
Yeah.
Didn't it?
Wasn't great. But he picked it up with the heel glove. Very important.
Ah.
Picked it up with the heel glove.
I didn't see that.
I know.
That's so well thought out.
Mm,
yeah.
Yeah. Picked him up with the heel glove and just said, I don't know, gonna miss you, buddy, or whatever he said.
I think it was something along the lines of, I never told you how much I loved you.
That's right, that's the one. Never told you how much I loved you. He gave the weird, disfigured meat thing a kiss.
Which the crowd, because the crowd weren't that into this. You could hear them chattering in the background. At one point, a lot of people just started going, woo!
Yeah.
Which implies that someone in the crowd just started doing woo. And loads of people joined in because Bray Wyatt's character, the Funhouse thing, has lost a lot of the momentum it had.
Oh, massively so.
But when he kissed the meat, that it got everyone in and everyone was like, ugh,
that's gross, man. Yeah. But then there were some noises started coming from the meat and he put it back down on the table, then transition and Ramblin' Rabbit's back alive again. And he was like, hey, I'm back. And Bray's like, oh, you're safe here. And all that stuff.
Mm.
So the consequences of Seth burning it down, which was Ramblin' Rabbit had died, now no consequences because Ramblin' Rabbit's back alive. And then that wasn't even mentioned. He was like, oh, well, that's all the time we got. See you at Crown Jewel. That's your build for the Universal title match. Like, what? What are you building to? All you've built there is Ramblin' Rabbit's recovery and nothing else. That's not about Bray Wyatt. That's not about Seth Rollins. It's not about the Universal title. It's not about Crown Jewel. What have you built?
There was no it was no real follow-up.
Yeah.
Because Ramblin' Rabbit has died, like, 7 times already.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, Dave Meltzer has some sort of issue with. He always makes fun of that. But I'm like, no, it's... You know, this is in the vein of Kenny dying in the early South Park series, every episode. I like that Ramblin' Rabbit always dies and just comes back to life.
It's a funny gag.
But, you know, that's the thing. Like, if he stayed dead, you'd be like, oh, okay, so this is going to actually cause some motivation for The Fiend to give some more intrigue into the rematch. Mercy eats Ramblin' Rabbit while he's saying bye at the end. And like, oh, Mercy. And so I guess, like, you know, you can say Rabbit's dead again. But that it was played for laughs as opposed to seriousness. There was no Fiend flashes here. There was no character development. And if you burn down the Firefly Funhouse... That is a significant moment in the development of a character. That should be a turning point. It should have some consequence or impact on how they conduct themselves going forward. Look at when Randy Orton burnt down the Sister Abigail's ashes and the old compound.
Yeah.
Like that, it wasn't a good direction of character after them, but they did change the character up.
Yeah.
So this was a real bad follow-up.
It was.
And it did not build Crown Jewel at all. So it stinks of just a rush job. These weren't the original plans. Yes.
Yeah.
Although I did like when Ramblin' Rabbit did come back alive, he said that Hell had a muscle man in a suit who just kept firing him. Which is, of course, a reference to the Vince McMahon puppet that we've already seen in the Funhouse series. So, yeah, not good builds to Crown Jewel.
Not at all. This is the SmackDown go-home show. Granted, we've got a Raw to go, but with SmackDown now being the A show, this is essentially like what used to be the last Raw before a pay-per-view. We'd still have a SmackDown to go, but most of your stuff should be done by this show. So, I don't know. I don't know where they're going with it. I don't know what I don't know what they're building.
Yeah.
Because they're not... building to Crown Jewel. They've got their names, they've got their matches, they've already got their money, so they should be building all these massive matches that they've got lined up, but instead we're building nothing or building the wrong thing. And I'm very confused as to what they're doing, and I don't know whether this leads into Survivor Series or beyond. I don't think so. Mm. I think they're just booking the wrong stuff.
Yeah, I guess we'll come on to the other ones. We've got Hogan and Flair, which was built effectively, I guess. Strowman and Fury, but Fury wasn't there. Like we said, Lesnar, the better feud is with Mysterio, but not Velasquez.
Mm-hmm.
And Rollins and Fiend is just a dead feud now. But they could do something on Raw. It felt like another phoned-in episode of SmackDown. Like, we're just trying to get... Like, we've had the draft... But we've got to get past Crown Jewel. But then once we're past Crown Jewel, then we've got to get past Survivor Series. And then we can start properly building stories through to Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
So it's not promising for the next month period, which is a bit disheartening.
It always seems like every show that they're doing, every big pay-per-view or big event that they have, it always feels like a roadblock rather than... the thing they're supposed to be building for.
Yeah.
It was like, we've got our weekly show. Oh, and I guess we've got a pay-per-view to do as well, I guess. When that should be the focus. You should be doing that more than anything else. It's baffling. I don't understand.
I feel like they're like that for their TV as well. Oh, we've got a TV to do.
Yeah.
And a pay-per-view.
They're just very reluctant to do anything, I think, is the problem.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Venom Kitetsu said, "Been a busy week, just want to say hi."
Hi.
Hello. Big Bite Gaming said, "I gotta tell someone, so y'all are first. I picked out the ring I'm gonna propose to my girlfriend early next year."
Whoa! Well done.
That's rad. Well, wow. Congratulations in advance, I guess. Hope she says yes.
Yeah, well, none of us here are engaged, so that's like, good on you.
You suck. Master Like 27. Would love to see Randy Andy Datson in a Hell in a Smell type punishment. By the way, you are awesome. I don't watch WWE anymore. Just your reviews. Thanks.
Oh, thank you very much. Cheers. Mm.
Yeah. I don't know what Hell in a Smell is, though.
Hell in a Smell is kind of what's going on in my shirt right now.
Yeah.
Can you smell me?
Totally.
Are you serious?
The look of panic on your face is so good.
But you, because I can, you know, when you're aware of your own, I should have showered this morning,
mm-hmm.
but I just didn't because mm-hmm. I was tired.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm on edge that I do smell.
You're fine.
Yeah?
You're fine. No, I'm not doing that. Nope. Podcast listeners, he's trying to.
How about now? I just want to see.
No.
Don't get too close.
Nope.
Just the
nope.
this distance.
Nope.
Well, I think I don't smell.
This is bad. Bad audio content, Ollie. Anywho.
I need smell-o-vision.
Wilson Simons says, "What if Ramblin' Rabbit starts to want to die to get out of the funhouse, but he can't? He's infinitely trapped in the funhouse and he starts to go mad."
That's an interesting way of looking at it, actually. Mm. That sort of gives some reason why he... But it's not like he's committing suicide.
No.
It's other things that are killing him.
Yeah.
But that would be... Like, maybe he's like, I can't... later on down the line, he gets to that point where he's like, I can't take it anymore because I keep dying.
Yeah.
So I am going to kill myself. I mean, it's pretty...
That's a heavy topic.
Heavy storyline. But yeah. WWE has done that storyline before
mm-hmm.
as a joke with one of their referees.
Yeah.
Which was funny.
Mm.
It's in bad taste, but... Sometimes bad taste stuff can be funny, I would argue.
Yeah.
But then, like, Rabbit would... It would be really heavy and dark because it just keep coming back. Mm-hmm. And that's just like a whole new level of horror, that there is no escape.
Exactly. It's like Groundhog Day, but forever. William Boo Joad. Wow, that was a horrible pronunciation of that name. Kofi is definitely turning heel after that roll-up. I'm still not over that squash. Hopefully it's leading somewhere. Much love from Montreal.
We should have titled this video Kofi Heel Turn Confirmed.
Let's not do that. Let's not do that after last week. We'll be talking about that later in the show. We have some thoughts. Jay Patel said, how was the Ring of Honor show last night? How cool was Gresham's mask? And how was the scramble? And how was scramble match good? Did Rampage have a good showing?
He did, our boy Rampage.
He was awesome.
And our boys Dalton Castle and Matt Taven.
And Joe Hendry and Shane Taylor. Yeah. Everyone's our boys, basically.
It was a really, really good show.
It was
excellent. I loved every single match. My match of the night was Colt Cabana Flamita, actually. I thought it was excellent.
Oh, that was a great match.
Started off out and out comedy. And you never saw it change, but by the end, you're on the edge of your seat as this really serious fight.
Yeah.
And I was like, where did it switch? Yeah. Where did it change from this, you know, comedy spots to serious wrestling match? That's Colt Cabana. He is a craftsman in that sort of stuff. But Rampage had an excellent showing. He's got, obviously, Ring of Honor have, I think they're in Newport tonight and Bolton tomorrow night. So
that's right.
I really recommend you go. Jonathan Gresham's ring gear.
Oh, so cool.
It's like this Cthulhu mask thing, and he's got one long octopus squid arm. Oh, so cool.
So cool. Love Gresham. Big Gresh. We'll do the last one for now before we get on with the main show. Joe Libro said Brock versus Batista would be a better match. They have history and Batista is good friends with Rey and we never got Brock versus Batista yet.
It's not a match that, like, you know, dream matches jumps out at me.
Doesn't excite me immediately.
No.
I think that's the kind of match where you could have this story of the revenge for wronging someone, take out Dominic, and just have Lesnar destroys Rey Mysterio, and then Batista's like, he's my friend, I will get you back for that, Brock versus Batista, and then you have that kind of story. That works here.
Yeah.
You don't need that story for Velasquez, I'd say.
I think Batista's definitely retired, though. He's a serious actor now.
Yes, yeah, that he is.
SmackDown itself kicked off with Miz TV, which was actually Miz just introducing a Hogan and Flair promo.
Yeah, and everyone was already in the ring.
Yeah.
Apart from the Raw guys.
Yes, that was a nice attention
to detail.
Who
were actually on Raw, because continuity. Crazy.
Is Chad Gable's ring gear, this is new, isn't it?
Oh, God. Yeah, it's new.
So Shorty G is now dressed in like a sort of college basketball outfit.
Sort of, yeah.
And it just makes him look...
It looks a little bit too big for him as well, which I assume is part of the joke.
Yeah. He looks ridiculous.
he looks
childish. He's one backwards cap away from being Poochie. In the and that's a real shame because, you know, he's fantastic. He naturally gets over with the crowd. He's got this brilliant empathy. But it's like they're doing everything in their power to derail him.
I know. And he's still getting over despite that because he's awesome.
Yeah.
So this started off. Also, Jimmy Hart was there. No introduction, never mentioned. He's just there.
That's a real shame because Jimmy Hart's a hell of a promo.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Would have been nice to hear him on the megaphone.
Yeah. Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan cut promos back and forth at each other. Ric Flair says Saudi Arabia again twice. I don't think he was meant
he
to do.
He doesn't care.
No, he doesn't.
No, they say, don't say Saudi Arabia, Rick. He's like, sure.
Said so anyway. It's Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
So they cut some promos back and forth. It was whatever. Let me tell you something, brother. Woo, etc.
Well, I thought Flair and Hogan's bits were really good. And
I thought they were fine.
Corbin was great.
Corbin's fantastic. Love Corbin.
But then it did just become my turn to speak. my turn to speak. And there's eight people in the ring, so it was very choreographed and staged.
Yeah.
Chad Gable's promo, he's a good promo, but the stuff he was given was, you know, it's like awkwardly step into the limelight. Here's my character piece. What did he say?
I've accepted myself.
I've accepted who I am.
Yeah.
And it's just as nonsense as the Ricochet
superhero stuff. Yeah. And I saw a tweet from our Felix Finch, who works on Wrestling With Regret. And I thought this as well when I first watched it. He said, that promo that he's cutting, it sounds like someone who's coming out. It sounds like someone who's coming out as like gay or something like that.
Yeah.
That's you take that exact wording that he's using and put it in a different context, and that's exactly what it would be. I'm like, that's exactly what I thought as well, and I don't think that's what they're going for, but I think that's just a happy coincidence. And it's like, if someone wants to read into that and like take that as their own lesson, that's cool. I don't want to give WWE credit for actually writing that kind of story, though.
No, what's happened there is Vince McMahon obviously really like, I think he genuinely likes Chad Gable. That's the reports backstage. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you're sure. But you know what? It doesn't matter. You can still get over. And everyone's like, no. It's fine. We know he can get over. And Vince's like, no, stop being nice to him. He's short. But don't worry, Chad. You can do it. And that's what that's reflected in these promos. Luckily, Chad did get some of the shine back, because when it was just about to disintegrate into a brawl, he goes, let's punch some faces, boys. Which I thought was cool.
I genuinely thought
that was really good.
Yeah, it's great. It did sound weird, though, to hear Gable saying all this stuff about, I've accepted who I am, I'm Shorty G, all that stuff, and Ali standing next to him, who's basically the same height. There's like an inch difference between them. And he's like, oh, I know I'm so short. It's like, he's right there. They're the same height. It just annoys me that Gable's been given this gimmick when he's not even the shortest guy on the roster. He's not even the shortest guy on this show. Mysterio is there later.
Yeah.
Why isn't he Shorty M? Like,
Pequeño M.
Pequeño M. Why isn't he that? God, it just annoys me. Anyway, like you said, choreographed promos back and forth. Hogan then says, well, since there's three of us and there's three of you, how about a little tease of the Crown Jewel match, 3-on-3? And Zayn says, we'll think about it, and walks away. And then eventually he's like, yeah, all right. Except not me, because I strained my neck on the flight over. So instead, we're going to have this guy. And out comes Cesaro. Mm. I was like, oh, Cesaro, cool. I get to see a match with Cesaro. That's good. And then they have a big schmoz. He comes straight down, walks past everyone, and just starts brawling with Roman Reigns, which is cool.
Really cool. Cesaro's new look is excellent.
It's great, isn't it?
He just looks like this European badass athlete. Mm-hmm. Like, he looks like a proper athlete, the way he carries himself. I know that sounds like I'm undermining everyone else, but I mean more like a... Like, he feels like an Olympic person who's going around to do track and field. You know what I mean? But it totally works.
Yeah.
The Sami Zayn stuff is obviously, I'm not going to be there next week.
Yes.
Because he probably won't
travel. Can't go, yes.
Then the New Day were walking backstage. They had Xavier Woods on FaceTime.
Nice touch.
Really nice touch.
Yep.
A little graphic saying WWE passed 50 million subscribers this week. Why can't we pass 50 million subscribers?
Help us out.
They turned way more heel than we did.
That's true. You know what it is, though? What you were saying earlier, it's all about the amount of videos we put out. They put out, like, 7 different clips from every show they do, plus backstage interviews.
That's
what we've got to do. We've just got to put out 2-second videos just constantly and just flood everyone's subscription boxes, and that will make everyone love us.
Excellent. I'm going to do that.
Yep.
Strategy for next week.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got, this is what the New Day were coming out to the ring for. Ugh. The New Day versus Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler, which I was taken aback by, because this was an actually pre-announced match, and it was happening. So I was like, okay, this will be a fun match.
They've actually had a pretty good streak of doing stuff that's been advertised, apart from that face-to-face interaction between Lesnar and Velasquez that didn't happen.
This was sort of the looming specter of the largest tag team turmoil match to determine the World Cup for the best tag team in the world in the background. But I thought, okay, we're going to get a good 10-minute match here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fool.
Yeah.
Why would I ever think that? Because they cut backstage. The B team are shown watching. Then there's other stuff that happens. Like Lucha House Party is shown backstage watching mm-hmm. later on.
Yep.
And then about a minute, 2 minutes in, Kofi just gets rolled up by Dolph Ziggler. And that's it.
And he just loses. Like, there wasn't, like, a big distraction. There wasn't an interference. It was just Big E was there, and he got taken out by, who was it? Bobby Roode hit a spinebuster on Big E. So then Kingston came in, did a little springboard thing, and hit Roode out of the ring. And then Ziggler just rolled him up. And won. Kingston didn't lose because he got distracted or there was interference. He just lost because he's bad.
I could have sworn that Ziggler had the tights. There was none of that. There was no cheating. It was just roll up.
Yeah.
There are so many layers of bad to this. Just in the immediate term,
mm-hmm.
The New Day have a SmackDown tag title match against The Revival on next week's episode.
Mm-hmm.
A match they're going to win those titles soon.
Yeah.
It might be next week. It might be Survivor Series. I would imagine it's between those two dates. It's going to happen, I think, because The Revival are obviously just riding out a contract.
Oh, yeah.
And WWE want to bury them before they go out. But why are they why would you have Kingston and Big E lose when it doesn't matter?
Yeah.
You could just have them beat Roode and Ziggler. And then why have Kofi lose?
Mm-hmm.
Why not have Big E rolled up? It's still bad, but it's better than just having Kingston rolled up. And then, like, I guess their methodology is, well, you won't remember because it's the angle afterwards that you'll remember, because then The Revival quickly run down, start brawling with the New Day, then come down heavy machinery, the faces stand tall. It's just like, look at all these tag teams. They're all going to be in the crown jewel largest tag team turmoil match.
Yeah.
But they completely misjudged that, because nobody is talking about that. They're all talking about how Kofi, just a couple of weeks ago, was the WWE champion on SmackDown, had that amazing run. Well, he had a run where he was booked very strongly, but never really at the top. But he had an amazing win. We were all very invested in him. But this is just so transparently, WWE never cared about Kofi. He was just a placeholder to appease us before they did that actual wrestling show, which is when SmackDown moved to Fox and Brock could just beat him for the championship.
Yeah, I hate to say that I called it. As soon as Kofi lost the title, I was like, he's just going to go straight back to where he was. He's just another member of the New Day who is just a mid-carder. He's just a guy now. There's nothing special to him anymore, despite all of that work that they did to make him feel like a big deal. All of that stuff, all the gauntlet matches, all of the amazing booking that they had, how well protected he was during his title run. All of that just went with Lesnar, and now he's just a guy in a feud with Dolph Ziggler again, because that's what Kofi does.
Which is insane, because he's at the start of the SmackDown opening credits.
Very highly featured.
Yeah, that opening credit sequence, he's like the first guy who pops up in that giant blue auditorium with all the blue people, like Eiffel 65. And SmackDown lacks top stars. That's something I noticed in the main event. It was only Roman Reigns, really, who can say, well, he's a legit main eventer. But even then, like, you know, that's a bit of a stretch in the grander scheme of history
mm-hmm.
when you look at people like The Rock and Stone Cold and whatnot.
And the two people at ringside being Hogan and Flair.
Yeah. But to not use Kofi to fill in some of that lacking main event star power and put him immediately back, like you said, in the tag division, in the mid card, and losing.
Yeah.
It's just, what was the point of the last 6 months?
Right. What was the point?
You were doing good. You have made someone. You genuinely made someone that everyone wrote off to be at that level.
Mm-hmm.
And you've just gone back on it. It is baffling.
Yeah.
I don't know what their thinking is. Usually I can sort of go, oh, well, they're thinking this because of that. But this is indefensible.
I know. I do not understand why you'd take a guy who is a top star and say, nah,
mm-hmm.
I'd much rather not make as much money, thanks. I'd much rather not have my fans be happy. Thanks. Yeah. That's actively what they're doing. They're saying, we don't really care that you like this guy. We're just going to put him back where he was before. All of that goodwill that you had around WrestleMania, tough. Mm. We don't want it anymore. You're done. And he's back to being regular old Kofi. It sucks. Yeah. It sucks not only for Kofi, but it sucks for everyone who actually enjoyed him, especially during that title run as well. Massive, massive shame. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing at all.
Well, let's move on to a pretty good video package, actually, with Tyson Fury and Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
The stuff from earlier this week where Braun attacked Fury at the Performance Center.
Yeah. I quite like this style of Braun Strowman's character.
Yeah.
I think he's pretty cool at being a bit of a knob.
Yeah.
He's all right when he comes around and he's like, oh, you're in my ring now. And he's like walking off. And I was like, oh, that's cool. All right. I like this version of Braun that's not just, wow, I'm going to break things. When he's got a bit of personality to him and all that, it's quite cool.
He feels more like a human as opposed to this untouchable monster. Like his motivations are, I want to be the best. I am the best. As opposed to, oh, I'm a monster. I crush.
Yeah. Yes.
It's like the Hulk is this green rage thing. Or the Hulk is actually, you know, a three-dimensional character where he can think about stuff. Planet Hulk, Hulk.
Yes.
Yeah. Then I've written here, I much prefer WWE two-man booths.
Okay.
Because it cut to Corey and Michael Cole at ringside at this point. I thought, you know what this is? It's still not great.
No.
But I much prefer this to just having a random person to fill either some diversity quota that WWE have given themselves, and they just parrot nonsense stuff to them anyway.
Or they just make noise.
Yeah, I much prefer a two-man booth. And then, where is it? Later on. Oh, yeah.
Do you take that back?
Drew Gulak versus Kalisto. Oh, the Lucha House Party come out, and Cole says, they just love to have fun.
That's the point of fun! Everyone likes to have fun.
Yeah.
Moron.
And I just thought, no.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Still hate Cole.
Then we had Lacey Evans versus Cameron Connors.
Mm-hmm.
This was very good.
This was very good.
Yes.
I enjoyed this thoroughly.
So Cameron Connors, a local enhancement talent.
Mm-hmm.
Lacey comes out. It's just going to be a squash match. Initially, I was like, oh, I was enjoying Lacey getting over in longer matches.
Yes.
I think that was the way to do it. And Lacey cuts a promo saying she's not going to fight this, what does she call them?
Nasty, probably.
Nasties, yeah.
Yeah.
And she got some local hometown heat. And she says, ring the bell, referee, and I'm going to walk away. Which is kind of like what her old walking gimmick was, but she never wrestled. And she walks when I thought, oh, this is rubbish.
Yeah.
They're just going back to that.
Mm-hmm.
The referee's back's turned. The enhancement talent is just like looking around with her back to Lacey as well. Lacey runs in just as the referee's on eight. Woman's right, boom, when the jobber's distracted. Three count.
That was great.
Really, really good.
Yeah.
Smart idea as well.
And totally, genuinely subverted my expectations because I thought she was just going to walk away and she was going to give herself a loss for no reason. And I was like, that makes no sense. And then as soon as the referee hit nine and then she ran back in, I was like, ah, oh, this is really good now.
Yeah.
And the women's right actually looked really good as well. I genuinely, I'm starting to like the women's right as a finisher.
Yeah.
It looks cool, honestly.
It's because she's not punching in the rest of the match.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Like, it actually makes sense there.
Yeah.
Lacey Evans has been very, very good this last month.
Mm-hmm.
Taking Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans off TV after Extreme Rules was a genius move because they both come back very, very good,
yes.
I think.
Yeah, and I think they've always been good. They've just been very, very overexposed. And I will say that Lacey wasn't as good as she is now. I think she's improved pretty much as soon as she's come up on the main roster to now. She's improved drastically.
Mm.
So I do think she was overexposed to that kind of main event women's level straight away. But now she's had time to kind of formulate a character a bit more and be a bit more herself during her actual matches and promos and stuff. She's really starting to get over, I think.
Yeah, and she probably learned a lot, even though I disagree with having her push to that level after WrestleMania as Becky Lynch's main opponent. She probably learned so much in those couple of months.
Sure.
And some people don't learn and they just disappear. But to Evans's credit, she's obviously taken a lot of those lessons on board and she's come back really, really good.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Nikki Cross is saddled with just an awful character at the moment.
Oh, God.
She's got a title match against Bayley next week? When is it? It's soon.
Don't know.
It's definitely not a crown jewel.
Oh, that much is for sure, yeah.
And Nikki Cross is backstage. Michael Cole is sort of interviewing her from the announcer's desk. And, yeah, Nikki's just like, "Oh, I'm so excited to be here."
What is her character? I don't understand.
She's really, really happy.
But then when she comes out for her matches, why is she crazy?
I don't know, Kate. I don't like
Because I like crazy Nikki Cross.
Yeah, yeah.
It was really, really good as part of Sanity. Me and Dave were talking about it last week because he's a big Nikki Cross mark and he really likes her. So when she won the number one contendership match, she was like, "Oh, awesome, Nikki Cross." And I was like, "Eh, but it's main roster Nikki Cross."
Yeah.
So she was great in Sanity. Great as a solo act in NXT. And as soon as she came to the main roster, she was paired with Alexa Bliss. And then she was like, "No, I'm just a normal person now." What? Yeah, and then she was like, "Ah, Mandy Rose is beautiful. So many girls are. This isn't a beauty pageant. This is Friday Night SmackDown." What? I think her gimmick is getting cheap pops. Because she came out last week and she did an actual hometown cheap pop. She's like right here in wherever it was. And did a little thumbs up to the crowd. So now I think she was trying to get a cheap bop by saying Friday Night SmackDown like that. So I think that's a gimmick, is just being happy and doing cheap pops.
Maybe they're like, "Oh, you can be ladder stage Mick Foley."
Yeah.
Because you're a crazy character. When what they don't realize is the reason ladder stage Mick Foley works so well is that it'd been through the ringer as the serious crazy before then, as Mankind and Cactus Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't work for me. It was one of the worst things on SmackDown for me.
Not great.
Then we got the Firefly Funhouse returning. We've covered that. Drew Gulak took on Kalisto. This is where those Lucha House Party guys just love to have fun.
They just love to have fun.
And Gulak got a mic and started doing his PowerPoint presentation shtick. His delivery is fantastic.
He's so funny.
Mm.
He's great.
His comedic timing is perfect for my money. Unfortunately, they've misunderstood the appeal of the PowerPoint.
Mm-hmm.
Because he gets the PowerPoint up and it just looks like someone in WWE's graphics department has done it. So it's quite flashy in a lame way, when really he should be getting up the infographic and it should be a pie, like really badly done clip art, a weird pie chart thing. Looks really, really corporate.
Yeah.
That's how he's going to get heat.
Yeah.
Not here is something that is, you know, looks naff in the wrong way.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, last week he attempted to do a PowerPoint presentation of how Strowman could win against Fury. And this week he's like, "Well, I've got a new one. Here's how Strowman can lose against Fury because Strowman beat me up last week and I don't like him anymore," or whatever. And then he doesn't even get to slide two again because Kalisto cuts him off with a dropkick. But then Gulak actually got some offense in. Whoa, crazy. Former cruiserweight champion got in some offense. He picks up Kalisto, looks like he's going to go and, you know, go for some crazy move. And then Braun Strowman's music hits and he drops him and goes, "Oh God, Braun's coming to kill me." But that distraction lets Kalisto hit the Salida del Sol for the win. And then Braun comes in and he power slams Gulak. It's actually a nice moment here where he picks up a mic, goes to do a promo, and the crowd start chanting one more time at him. He goes, "All right." And then he just picks up Gulak and does another one. I was like, hey, it's nice when people actually listen to the fans. It gives it a much more intimate vibe.
Totally.
It's like we had at the Ring of Honor show yesterday. The crowd started chanting one more time at the thing and they actually did it. And I was like, hey, isn't that nice when they actually listen to the crowd?
And it helps Braun's character. You were saying earlier how Braun felt more three-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big part of it. He's not this like 2D monster that's behind a screen. Just like how Cody said, in that invisible wall that separates the fans from the ring sometimes in wrestling.
Yeah.
It's like he feels like one of us and it's easier to get behind him.
Yeah, for sure. He then delivers the promo saying that at least Gulak deserves to be in the ring, unlike you, Tyson Fury. And then he said he's going to get these hands and he's going to send him back to where he belongs.
These hands.
Yeah, those. And he's going to send him back to where he belongs.
Mm-hmm.
It was all right.
Yeah, I thought that it was good.
I'm still not super into Fury Strowman, but I don't think anything they can do will really get me into it properly. So,
then we got Daniel Bryan coming out to do this it's not the long awaited career altering announcement that we never got. Mm-hmm. It was Is he a babyface again?
That was literally what he asked him without actually saying those words.
Yeah. Michael Cole wanted to know if the Yes Movement was back. So he came into the ring. Because apparently last week, at the end of the Nakamura match, of course, everyone was chanting Yes, and Brian didn't do it along with them.
Did shake hands with Roman Reigns, though.
Yeah, I thought that was the babyface turn.
Yep, me but too.
That, look, within a character arc, that makes total sense because that was one story. So like in Brian's mind, who's actually a really consistent character, down to Washington cheering him, and he acts as a babyface there and not anywhere else when he was a heel. So in his character mind, I imagine, that was just with Roman Reigns because they had to team up to beat Rowan, who really, you know, broke his heart.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. So now he's got to wrestle with, and do I really want to get on board with all these people again with all the stuff I now believe?
Mm-hmm.
I quite liked all this, actually. You not so much?
Not so much, no. Just because normally I'm a huge fan of pretty much everything Brian does.
Mm-hmm.
Face, heel, all the promos he cuts. He's always great. In this segment, I didn't really get like an emotional turmoil reading on his face. He just looked a bit disinterested at everything that was happening. And that kind of put me off a little bit. I was like, this feels very forced. It feels like they're just saying, no, guys, we've still got a face turn to do yet. And it's like, no, but he already turned face. Mm. He turned face 2 weeks ago when they built up a handshake between him and Reigns, and he was looking around at the crowd. He was like, should I shake his hand? And then they built that up, and then they shook hands, and everyone went, way. And he was like, yeah, I'm face now. And then the following week, he came out and he saved Roman Reigns and teamed with him and shook his hand, so he's still a face. And then they go, no, he's not face yet. But he is. You've already told the story. Just because he hasn't raised his hands like this doesn't mean he's not a face yet. I didn't buy the story they were telling.
Okay.
I think that was what it came down to.
But Nakamura and Zayn then come out, and Zayn sort of gives him a choice. He says, look, you can go and be with these people, even though they don't believe what you believe. Didn't he say Nakamura's a vegan now?
Zayn said, I'm a vegan.
Right.
And then he said, and Nakamura cares about the planet. We're just like you.
Artists as
well. Yeah, they're all artists. What a promo from Zayn.
Yeah, yeah.
What a treasure. He's so good.
Sammy offers his hand to Brian to sort of go back to the heelish ways, but Brian just walks through them and walks out, not revealing anything on his face.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out next week, maybe.
Yeah, I'm assuming in some sort of career-altering announcement. I'm sure it'll come out.
Then we got Nikki Cross versus Mandy Rose. This was nothing.
It was a nothing match. Thoroughly enjoyed Bayley on commentary. I thought she was great.
Yeah, she was. She was a good heel on commentary. I still don't think she's amazing.
No, I wouldn't say she is either.
Like, I think Sasha Banks was more of an amazing heel.
Yep.
And this version of her talking is way better than the scripted promos.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it was okay. The problem here, what annoyed me, is I hate matches where the commentators do not care about them.
Yeah.
And they just talk amongst themselves.
It's true.
And it's a shame because the crowd were really into Nikki Cross's comeback.
Mm.
And I can hear all the crowd cheering Nikki on, but the commentators are talking about a completely
something
different
else,
thing.
Yeah.
And it took me out and it grated on me quite considerably.
Mm, that's fair. I thoroughly enjoyed Bayley just being like, yeah, like I said what I said and I stand by that. And yes, there is a lack of passion and determination in the women's division. Do you know how many times I fought Charlotte Flair? And like stuff like that. Mm. It's like, oh, that's actually really cool.
Yeah.
Like there were some nice lines that she put in. I'm like, oh, I actually kind
Damn.
Of, you're kind of right. I really like her when she's talking like that. Cross does make the comeback. She picks up the win with the neck breaker. And Cole said, that could be Bayley soon. And then it cuts to Bayley, and she is giving Michael Cole the biggest death stare you've ever seen. Just like, no. And then they kind of stare off with Nikki Cross, her and Banks.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Whatever. It was a build, I guess. Just a little tease that this match is happening.
I think it's a holding thing until Alexa Bliss gets to babyface it up against her.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me.
Then we had the Velasquez Mysterio stuff.
Oh, I think you're missing, sorry, the Riyadh season grand opening parade.
I didn't get this on the version I watched.
They mentioned about Riyadh in Saudi Arabia, and then they said, with no context, they just said, here's a parade. Didn't tell you what it's for, didn't say what it is. Riyadh season grand opening parade is on the side. You get these massive floats of Roman Reigns and The Undertaker going through the streets of Riyadh. No explanation, no commentary, a bit of music, some fireworks and crowds going, woo! And then it cuts back and they don't mention it again. What was that? What was it for? Why are they there? No one knows.
It's the Saudi Arabian sort of... They've got a lot of sports and stuff, and it's like a couple of weeks of big events, with Crown Jewel being one of them. Mm-hmm. And this was the big parade to sort of get everyone amped up. But it also does look like a nightmarish vision of the future where Undertaker rules the planet.
It looks so bad. Because yeah. The first thing I saw, because the first thing they show is this blow-up Undertaker. And it looked like, from the camera angle they'd had it, it looked like it was just Undertaker standing there. And I was like, oh, Undertaker's already at, like, Crown Jewel. Is he going to do some, like, thing there? And no, then they kind of panned out, and it was just this massive float. And I was like, oh, well, what am I watching?
You mistook a crappy, paper-mache-looking Undertaker for the dead man himself.
I mean, he's getting on a bit now.
But the main event was the match that was set up in the opening promo, which was Cesaro, Nakamura, and Corbin versus Ali, Shawnee G,
yep,
and Roman Reigns. I liked how Nakamura felt like a big presence on this show.
He did, yeah. It was nice. Yeah, nice to see your champion represented, I guess by default, because Brock's the other one.
Mm.
So by default, even when he's there, he's not really there. So by default, you've got your other champion who must feel like a big deal.
But he was in the Bryan stuff and he was in this stuff and the opening segment.
Correct.
Multiple things he's got going on.
The mid-card vortex lives on.
Yes.
With Corbin and Nakamura and Cesaro.
Sucking them in.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, this started off as a normal match, I'd say. But then it just got so good at the end.
So good.
The last
was great.
4 or 5 minutes of this. Where it's just, and WWE do this really well, the six-man tags, where it's just people running in, you hit a move, I hit my move, counter, reversal, move. It's just bump and feed. It was really, really exciting. And the crowd had this monster pop when Roman Reigns got the hot tag.
Mm-hmm.
It was really nice to see. That was the most babyface over he's been in 4 years.
Yeah. And I mean,
in a match.
The crowd were pretty hot for the rest of the match, too. Like, when Gable was doing his comeback, and Gable got a little bit of a hot tag sequence as well to start with. Then when he started doing his comeback trying to get the hot tag to Reigns, they came alive for that comeback as well. And then it culminated with that monster pop when Reigns got the hot tag in. This was really, really good. There were some great spots as well. Like, I started off with my notes. I was pretty tired at this point because I, you know, watched it when I first get up in the morning. And I was just writing things like Reigns and Corbin, Samoan drop, drive-by. And then by the end of it, I'm like, Ali breaks it up, deep six, Gable hits a dropkick, Shinsuke hits a reverse this, and then there's like massive paragraphs of all these notes that I'm writing because I really got into the match. There was a lovely bit with Shorty G and Nakamura, and they do this like mat wrestling stuff where they're constantly countering each other for about 10 seconds. Mm. It's like, I've got this hold on you, no, I've got this hold on you, no, I've got this hold, no, I've got this hold, and they just went back and forth for ages. It was so fun.
My favourite duo was Reigns and Cesaro.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they had a great sequence where it was... So, like, I think Reigns went for a spear and Cesaro... Did he hit an uppercut?
He did pop-up.
Yeah, pop-up uppercut to that. And then they bounced back and forth a bit and then Reigns hit the spear and then he gave Ali the tag to hit the 450 for the win,
mm-hmm.
which was really nice.
Yeah, it was great.
To see, you know, Ali get the standing in the ring, music's played. But wait a second, brother. Hulk Hogan's music's got to close the show.
Of course.
But yeah, what would you give the episode?
I gave it in my edited review that will be going out after this stream. I gave it a low smack bang in the middle.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, low smack bang in the middle.
Because I think it wasn't bad enough. There wasn't as much stuff to warrant it being like a 2 out of 5. Because there was a lot of things I was like, oh, that's actually pretty fun.
Yeah.
Main event was fun to close out the show. That Lesnar beatdown I really enjoyed. Lacey Evans is growing on me. I enjoyed like Bayley on commentary. There's little parts of pretty much every segment that I really like. It's not necessarily that I like the overall segment, but there's lots of little bits that I could enjoy throughout the show. So again, not enough to warrant a high grade because it's only little parts of the show, not the overall thing, but there was a lot that I did actually enjoy in the show. So
yeah, it was a lot of stuff was good in isolation.
Yes.
Like the Firefly Funhouse was good if you just ignore everything that came before it. But yeah, if you zoom out and think of the wider context of WWE, that's when it becomes very annoying.
Right, so we got one from Swaff Daddy Johnny D.
Swaff Daddy Johnny D.
Hell yeah. Who says, all in capitals, how do you not address the funhouse being burnt down or anything? SmackDown stunk bad last night. Ugh. Thank God we have you guys.
Oh, thanks very much.
Well, thank you, Swaff Daddy
Johnny
D.
We'll get through it together.
Yeah.
That's what this is, really. I think it's a review show, but it's actually just a counseling session for adult wrestling
fans.
It's
a focus group, yeah. Buddy15301 said, with Bayley's heel transformation, does that mean Sasha will turn face for the Bayley Banks feud?
Say that again.
With Bayley turning heel, is Sasha going to turn face for the Bayley Banks feud?
No, I think they'll stick together.
Hopefully.
As a heel act for a while.
I want them to stay together for a long time.
Yeah.
Marcus Roman said, explain to me Cesaro's ring gear. What the frick?
Oh, I guess he's going for that sort of... I don't know why I keep saying European. It just feels European,
isn't it?
To me.
Is it because it's Cesaro?
Yeah.
And he is European.
It just... He looks cool. He looks cool.
And
I like it.
It's like he's got a belt on, which is like not really wrestling gear, but it still works somehow.
Yeah.
It's a strange look, but I like it. Sebastian Alanis said, it's a shame that WWE can have a great product like NXT, but then have bad slash meaningless shows like the main roster.
Did you see any of the WWE backstage stuff that went out immediately after SmackDown?
No.
So Finn Balor had this excellent promo. It's only like 2 minutes long where he's sitting down with Booker T and Renee.
Oh, I
want to
watch that.
Oh, yeah, it's really good. And he compares, like, his reason for going down to NXT.
Air quotes, podcast listeners.
He said that Raw and SmackDown is like Hollywood. They're the Avengers movies. Mm-hmm. There's all these special effects. NXT is like Broadway. There's nowhere to hide.
Yeah.
You know, you just exposed it's Raw. I thought, what a great comparison.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
That is a really good comparison.
It's an overproduced Hollywoodized version. And it's not. It's like Warner Brothers doing it, not even Marvel. I would say that's WWE compared to their indie brands.
Yeah. Steve Winyard said Cesaro's now a jobber, thumbs down. I wouldn't say he was a jobber. He had a pretty good showing in this match, I'd say. And he lost to the combination of Reigns and Ali, which I don't think is a terrible deal.
I didn't feel like Cesaro looked bad coming out of all this. No. I think he looked... You know, he did lose, but...
Yeah. And he didn't look like a main eventer or anything, but he didn't look like a jobber, I'd say.
Yeah. When I think of that main event, I think more of how much fun I had with the Cesaro Reigns stuff than I did Cesaro being cheapened by losing.
Yeah.
Because like you said, it took, you know, Reigns finisher and Ali finisher.
Mm-hmm. So I think it was fine.
Yeah.
Mercedes Bragg, who's my IRL friend, said, you must address Shorty G by his true name, G-Man. That was Hogan called him G-Man, I think.
Yo, G-Man.
Yo, G-Man. Christ. James McCall said, Crown Jewel is not cool. AEW is cool.
Hashtag Crown Jewel is not cool. I like that.
Zach Icon Littner said, where is the friend Dave? Unfortunately, he is away this week. He had a pre-existing arrangement that he had before he was even hired here. So he had to go do that. Harley comes in to say, what about the heel being the glove on show during the Firefly Funhouse holding Ramblin' Rabbit?
Yeah.
Then Bray saying, all you have to do is believe in the power of the before Mercy interrupts.
Yeah, well, the heel stuff, I didn't notice it, but you did. That's such a great attention to detail.
Yeah. Canelelmaprobabil.
Yes.
Yep. Kofi's run is Zack Ryder's story on steroids. Kind of is, honestly. Kofi's run.
Oh, Kofi's run, yeah.
It's Zack Ryder's story, but on steroids.
Yeah.
Get organically over, get to the top, quote unquote, get massively over, have a big win, and then they just go, nope.
Yeah.
See you later.
It's just WWE want to push the guys that they want to push.
Yeah.
If someone gets organically over that we like, that they haven't already signed off on, there seems to be a definite sentiment of resentment to those people.
Yes.
And any push that happens is half-assed, let's be honest, because Kofi was never the main feature of SmackDown.
Nope.
And it will be over hard when it's finished.
Yeah. Mark Flay says, the Kofi stuff was the final straw a few weeks ago, and hearing this further confirms it. Knew the pancake stuff was leading nowhere.
Mm.
Yeah, that pancake moment that I hopefully assigned to be some sort of character change, maybe a heel turn. Turns out to be nothing.
I think that's probably just Kofi's a smart guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's probably thinking, well, they're not scripting me into anything. I've got to save some face. So, you know, that's a good little way to do it.
As a nod to the fans that he is also frustrated, maybe. Mm-hmm. We've got about 17 million Super Chats from Matthew Robinson. Good God, that's a lot of them. It starts off with, it sucks with Crown Jewel that they won't do an all-women SmackDown. They have good storylines to do a lot for a show.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been a very good PR move. It just shows that WWE really only cared about that whole women's evolution movement that they managed when they had Ronda Rousey on the books.
Yep.
It's quite transparent now that wasn't really genuine. It was just a way to push Ronda and Stephanie more.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they would have done an evolution this year as well, I think.
And exactly. They haven't. Yeah, and they haven't. Another one from Matthew Robinson said, this show was filler and NXT is on fire. Yes, it is. This week's NXT was spectacular. So good.
Yeah, the Ramble will be up tomorrow for that. Try new things.
NXT review was last night, by the way. It was supposed to be tomorrow. But...
I'm going to do a live stream on Monday, just me, mm-hmm. asking everyone, hey, what is your ideal schedule? Because we're always trying to guess when people want to watch stuff and what's actually physically doable on our end. So we're just going to cut out the middleman and us guessing and have a big old, can't say brainstorm, mind map. I'm going to mind map it, bring a whiteboard in here.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Another from Matthew Robinson. Kofi can't compete because they made Brock versus UFC guys. They should bring up Matt Riddle since all wrestlers is no match for Brock with the Kane story. That almost made sense.
Yeah, I think they want Matt Riddle down in NXT for a while.
Keep him there for a bit.
He's a genuine draw for them, I think.
Plus, they've been building that epic Goldberg feud.
Yeah.
He did a jackhammer on this week, and the crowd started chanting, Riddle, Riddle, like Goldberg. It was great. Matthew Robinson again said, WWE have underestimated how good of a character and champion Leo Rush is. He's great in NXT right now.
I've always liked Leo Rush.
Mm-hmm.
And what seemed to have gone down with him on the main roster, you know, the stuff that he said in interviews, is just like, I think that there's still obviously a quite toxic working environment in WWE.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Where it's still very much tied to the old days of you have to do this for the older stars and you have to carry their luggage. And you're like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Let's put that in the past.
Exactly. I'm going to try and do the rest from Matthew Robinson first and then I'll do the others because there's a lot. Matthew Robinson says, Ollie, welcome to the WrestleTalk live house that Pete Chopper Whopper built.
You should make that part of your intro. I like that.
The house that Chopper Pete built. Matthew Robinson again.
Chop it down. Chop it down. Gonna chop it down, Chan, in the chat.
Please just stop.
Chop it down.
Stop giving me
chop
extra gimmicks.
It down.
I have so many gimmicks already. Matthew Robinson said, happy birthday, Ollie.
It's not my birthday.
It is now.
Don't think so.
Let's get some happy birthday Ollies in the chat, everyone.
Let's turn the tables. Look at all the chop it downs.
Matthew Robinson again, hopefully for the last time, because that's a lot of money you've given us. Christ. It's weird how AEW feels like it is on a whole different level from WWE.
That's NXT is very, very good as well at the moment. I mean, like, freaking done Keith Lee Dijak match. When Lee and Dijak are like, no, we're going to do this
strong,
in the ring.
Not done.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
When Lee and Dijak are like, we're going to do this in the ring. That is...
It's a beautiful little sequence, that.
That's up there with Cody's MJF scarf punch.
Yeah.
But AEW is... You're totally right. A lot of people are kind of accusing us of being...
on AEW's payroll?
On AEW's side, I think it's quite clear that we just
like AEW
because like those the first show you can go back we were actually more critical than most people of AEW. I think we are subjective with our own opinions, but we're not like that. Tribalism doesn't exist in our team. I would say like if AEW's bad, we're calling out for it. Same with WWE.
Yeah, and when we had that pretty mediocre episode of NXT last week. Yeah. Laurie and I said, hey, this isn't that good. It goes both ways. It's either AEW and WWE. We praise it when it's good and don't say it's very good when it's bad. Marcus Roman said, I love when Chopper Pete rages, waiting for that moment that he will flip the table. This makes my morning. I don't think I would. I'd probably break a lot of things.
You'd do that, wouldn't you? You'd chop it down.
Chop it down.
You'd chop it down.
Chop it down the middle. Right, let's skip all the other ones from Matthew Robinson, because I've already read those. New Punk Rants, almost said. Imagine thinking WWE is better than AEW. LMAO.
Some people... Hey, each to their own. If you like WWE, you know, some people might like, you know, they're lifelong WWE fans. That's what wrestling is to them.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Totally fine. Kush Renada said, as a fan and minority, it really hurts how they threw away Kofi's push and fall from the title picture.
It
sucks.
Yeah.
As, you know, straight white males, I don't think we can quite relate to that kind of struggle that Kofi's gone through and the significance it had for a lot of people. But to have it thrown away just as a fan sucks at our end, so it must be even worse for, you know, for people who relate to that story.
And to sort of... That paired with just Byron Saxton, who came into his own on commentary.
Oh, he did, didn't he?
For that storyline. Mm-hmm. For him to just also be dropped at the same time. It's yeah.
Yeah. Sterling Van said, my subscription ends tomorrow from the whole Fiend thing. I really hate how I want to show my displeasure, but NXT is so good.
Oh, so they
I think he's saying, I don't know. He just says my subscription ends tomorrow. I think they might be undecided. It's like, I want to show my displeasure, but also NXT's so good.
Man, I show your displeasure by just tweeting around. I think the network is supremely good value.
It's
just
incredible, isn't it?
NXT, the takeovers alone, but man, that archive.
The archive, like, it's insane.
That's what I do in my, that's my comfort watching.
Yeah.
Just watching old ECWs, you know?
For me, it's normally old takeovers.
Yeah.
Yeah. New Punk Rants again said 2019 WWE equals 1999 WCW. It's actually awful. AEW for life.
Mm-hmm. So at uni, everyone used to, there were different colleges. I was in Digby Stewart College and everyone used to chant. We were there for 1 week. You know, it's the first week of uni. Digby Stewart, Digby for life, Digby for life. And I'll be like, Digby till I graduate. Saying AEW for life, I imagine you did it ironically or in jest or probably not 100%, but tribalism is a thing and it's, you know, it's not the most intelligent way to live your life.
Correct. So basically you're just saying he's an idiot.
No, I'm not. I'm saying don't tie yourself to one brand because, yeah.
I was just kind of digging that hole for you, trying to see if you could get yourself out of it. The Grizzly Gentleman said, Balor looks like a brute after 2 weeks on NXT. Pac, Mox, and Jericho look like megastars on AEW. I can't watch WWE as it breaks my heart to see talent wasted.
Yeah, that is really sad, especially just what they've done to Chad Gable. Like, just making him, saddling him with stupid gimmick after, different layers of the same stupid gimmick. I don't know what he's going to come out with next week. Like, will he come out with his shoes on his knees?
Oh, God.
And just do, like, a tiny person walk thing?
Oh, God. Like that, a 2K20 glitch? That might be the line. Like a 2K20 glitch. Speaking of, we've got a compilation of 2K20 glitches. It's going to be going up tomorrow that Ollie and Simon and Laurie react to the compilation. I gathered some of the best glitches out there on the expanse of the internet. Got them all in one place, and I sat Ollie and Laurie and Simon down and said, watch these. So then we recorded their reactions to it, and it's going up tomorrow.
It was really fun.
It's fun.
And it's given me nightmares.
Some of them are horrifying.
That Becky Lynch one.
It's great because it's double layered, because I put up the picture and then you realize it's a GIF and it moves. Oh, and then there was disgusting. A double reaction. It was great. Frisco Flame said, WWE All Women's event on December the 5th in Jacksonville.
What was that? Sorry, where?
December 5th, Jacksonville, WWE All Women's event. I haven't heard anything about it.
No,
but
I haven't either.
Maybe if you want to Google live on air, we could.
WWE All Women's event.
December 5th.
Jacksonville. It's coming
Jacksonville.
Up. With something. Yes, this was announced 3 hours ago.
All Women's WWE NXT event.
Yeah.
Is that slightly different?
Let's have a look.
That doesn't say anything about it, does it?
Post this.
Oh, here we go. It's the second one.
Shayna Baszler appeared at last night's NXT live event in Jacksonville and announced that the December 5th live event from Jacksonville will be an all-women's event. So, yeah, presumably
so I think it's an NXT one.
NXT All Women's show.
Which, in fairness, that's going to be a cracking show because currently the NXT Women's division is top.
Lit.
Love it.
Kids say.
It's... I can't think of any other street words, kid-friendly words. Anywho, finally, we've got Javanshu Dua, who said, please, Ollie, stay for SmackDown and happy birthday. Chop it down.
Well, I don't work Saturdays usually.
No.
That's Dave. That's
a one-off. It's Dave's job. So I've got some emails, if you'd like to read them with me.
As long as they're not just for you and Dave.
Most of them are, in fairness.
Shall I ask Raz Dave? Shall I try and do a Dave impression?
Try and do a Dave, that's fine.
Okay, Pete. Because he speaks in a very clipped way, and he's going to speak like this. That's my Dave impression.
I'm going to make sure Dave listens to this.
Yes.
We got an email here from Tucker, who comes in to say, dear Pete and the Russell Talk boys, my name is Tucker and I've been a long time listener, but this is my first time emailing in. I'd like to start off by saying that all of my initial opinions for you were all negative, and looking back on them, I was wrong. Over the years of listening to the
glad
podcast...
you said wrong.
Yeah.
The week we've had, Pete, I thought you were just going to read me hateful stuff.
Over the years of listening to this podcast, I've seen and heard the new voices, and it's taken time for me to adjust. At first, it was just wacky Ollie waving his arms and screaming at the camera about the poor booking of WWE. Then Luke joined the party, and I was a little taken aback. The voice was different. This voice wasn't Ollie. I didn't like him. But I gave him a chance, and he became one of my favorites. Then Laurie joined. Again, he was different. He wasn't Luke, so I didn't like him. But he grew on me, and I accepted him and enjoy his views. Then you came around, Chopper Pete, and once again you were different, and I wasn't sure how to handle the new voice that wasn't Ollie, Luke, or Laurie. But I've accepted you, and you are now one of my favourites, and I enjoy all the videos you're a part of. Now to Dave, obviously if he was here. I feel like I must give you the obligatory, I hate you because you're new comment. However, I know this will change, and I will learn to love you all equally. Thank you for your consistent content, and for making my daily routine enjoyable with your reviews and opinions. Apologies for long email. Thanks again, Tucker.
So, what you're saying there is... You hate me right now.
That is a terrible Dave impression.
Yeah, I'm not very good at any impressions.
In fairness, I can't do a better one.
Go on, do a better one. Try.
See, we did a funny thing before, back when we were, you know, had our own YouTube channels and stuff. I went to stay around his house once, and we did a video together. And I started off the video wearing his glasses, doing his, like, normal introduction bit. But honestly, I can't remember what his intro is now. It's been a while since I've watched one of his videos.
Hi, I'm Dave.
So I can't do it. No, it's not.
Hi, I'm Dave. Press the thumbs up button.
Because he doesn't play to the algorithm, Ollie.
I know.
I know, it's like your biggest nightmare.
Sweet algorithm.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I've had 6 months of injecting that algorithm in my veins. And I'm just coming out of the haze and realizing that I've wrecked so many relationships.
I'll do one more. Email. We got one from Gio here, who said, hello, Pete, Ollie, Luke, Fakador, Dave, Simon, Val, the guy with the brain voice, but no hello to you, Andy. I sent this some time ago. Luke never read it out, you dastardly heel. So I decided that Pete, my favorite member of the group, hell yeah.
That's a basic choice.
Would do. Well, thanks. Also, as you have a mate. Wait, what? Also, as you have a mate. Brackets, housemate Simon.
Oh, yeah.
There is also the friend Dave.
I think he's trying to say you've got a mate and you've got a friend.
Right, okay. I wanted to put on my request to become El Amigo del Wrestle Talk. With that being said, I leave you with my original email. Hoping this mail finds you well and wishing you all a nice day. I've been trying to email you for a while, but I'm pretty shy of my grammar since English is not my first language. However, I found a perfect reason to email since I just remembered that 4 years ago, one of my favorite wrestlers ever, El Hijo del Perro Aguayo. Wow, I would probably butcher that
Alberto
one.
Alberto Del Rio's brother?
I don't know.
Say the name again, I'll slowly Google it.
El Hijo del Perro Aguayo. It's the translation is the son of the something dog, but I don't know what aguayo means. There's my rudimentary Spanish coming through.
I'm getting a lot of Dog the Bounty Hunter if I type the son of the something dog.
Anyway, El Hijo del Perro Aguayo, they passed away in the ring during a match against Rey Mysterio.
Oh, God.
And they said that was 4 years ago that happened.
Okay, yeah, so Del Rio's brother is
El Hijo de Dos Caras.
All right.
Yeah, that one.
Guess so.
Yeah. He said, I knew him when he came to my city. There's a lot of Spanish in here. Querétaro in Mexico. And get to take this picture and chat a bit with him. This photo is from 12 years ago. He was a great person and really kind and inspired me to get into wrestling. I lost a lot of interest in the sport for a long period of time, but since coming across you guys, I've sparked that light again. Thank you all so much for your hard work. I really consider all of you friends. Aww. Know that I will faithfully support WrestleTalk. Also, I have a joke and a question for you. What does Rusev and Screenstalker have in common?
They both like to play, watch other people play with Lana.
So, they're watching.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's good.
It's good. Also, there's a question about Pokemon. You can answer that.
Come on, you know a little bit about Pokemon.
It's if you could have a Pokemon, which one would you have and why?
Oh, I thought it was going to be more like a trivia.
If
I could have one as a pet. Oh man. Well, I'm so basic with this.
Please don't say Pikachu.
Pikachu.
I hate you
it's
so much.
It's the cutest one.
It's not.
Pikachu.
It's objectively not the cutest, but yeah.
What's the cutest?
I'm going to show you right now. Tie between two. Here you go.
You better not show me that egg one.
Look at him.
Oh.
This is a Pokemon called Stuffle. He's literally a stuffed bear. He's got a label on his butt because he's like a little stuffed toy.
Little Stuffle.
He's the cutest.
Show Val that. She'll melt.
she will melt. There's also this boy. Look at him. He's cute as hell.
Yeah, it's cute. I mean, Stuffle's cute.
Stuffle is the greatest.
But Pikachu's also cute, man. I think you're just saying that because it's the very popular choice.
I have biased opinions. Anyway, we have the photo with El Hijo del Perro Aguayo. I don't know how to say it. But yeah, they said the photo was from 12 years ago, which is really, really cool.
Do you know 12 in Spanish?
Hold on, give me a second.
Diez.
That's 10. Once doce.
Doce.
Right?
I think so. I just want to do a quick shout out to WrestleTalk viewer, one of our top guys, one of the lovely time with the boys, Adam Pearson.
Oh, he's awesome.
Whose film is out in the UK now.
Oh, awesome.
On Friday.
Chained for Life.
Yeah, Chained for Life. I was going to try and talk about this on the show with Dalton Castle
and
Matt Taven. That was derailed.
Yeah, no, didn't happen there.
But yeah, it's out now. There's a screening at the ICA tomorrow in London with Adam. He's going to be doing a Q&A, so go and get tickets for that.
Sweet.
But yeah, Chained for Life. Watch the trailer. It looks really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Adam's awesome. He's in it. So proud of him.
He's great. Yeah. I love Adam. He messaged me to being like, we should go for a beer sometime. I was like, yeah, let's do that. You're not invited, mate.
What the hell? Why is he going to you and Datsun all the time?
Because we're great, obviously. Anywho, I think that's probably all we got time for on this podcast, I reckon. We've got a show. Well, thank you very much for listening, guys. We'll be back on Tuesday. It's actually going to be me and Ollie are going to be back on Tuesday doing the Raw review because Luke is in Japan now. I guess we probably should have opened up by saying Dave's not here today because he had a thing. That was already arranged before he even started working here. So he's away for this one. But he'll be back next week. But yeah, so thank you very much for listening. I love you all. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.